Thankful for the grace of God today, aren't you? Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. As you're turning there, I'm going to give you a few advertisements, all right? First of all, next Sunday is Friend Day here at Calvary. I want to remind you, there'll be no Sunday school. The service will begin at 10:30 a.m. And we'll have an extended service meal after that. And then we'll break down the chairs underneath, the tables underneath the tent, set back up and have an afternoon under the tent service. And you don't want to miss it next week. And if you're our guest, we'd love for you to come back and have lunch with us on the grounds and a great time together. And love to have you. Still time to invite your friend. Go by and visit the Friend Day table and pick up your handful of invitation cards and be inviting. Thank you for the couple hundred people out yesterday and this past week that have been out inviting folk and working in the community. And I appreciate you doing that. Let's continue to reach out over this week and be faithful in that area. And you never know, it might be your friend that meets the friend of friends and their life will be forever changed. Amen. And then don't forget our homecoming offering that's coming up next week as well. So I want to remind you of that. One more advertisement. Tonight we'll be in Revelation chapter 13. We'll be starting back in that series, The Future Unveiled, tonight. And you don't want to miss it. So be back tonight as we'll be talking about the rise of the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 13. All right, John chapter 10. Look, if you would, verse number 11. I trust you'll leave your Bible open. I'm going to read one verse and then we're going to come right back to our text and study this passage together. Notice what the Bible says. John chapter 10 verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let's look at it one more time. I am. I just like to soak in those two words for a moment. Amen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I want to preach to you this morning. I am the good shepherd. Let's pray. Father, as we bow before you, I thank you for the wonderful music, the sweet spirit, Lord, the joy that's in the hearts of your people. Lord, as we bask in the love of God and the grace of God and the salvation of God, Lord, there may be someone here today that they don't have any assurance in their heart that heaven would be their home. Lord, they're fearful of the future and the outcome of their life and where they would spend eternity. I'm glad that there's a shepherd that wants them to become one of his sheep. I thank you, Lord, that you guide us and direct us and care for us. I thank you that you're the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. I thank you, Lord, for your shepherding ministry in my own life. I pray this morning these verses would come alive in our own hearts and minds as we study the Bible together and we learn of you. And Lord Jesus, you'd be high and lifted up, for you said if we lift you up, you'd draw them into you. And Lord, I pray that'll take place today. God, I pray that you be preeminent. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I study my Bible, I find that the Lord Jesus has been called by many different names and titles in the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, you're going to find that our God is so great, He's so marvelous, He's so matchless and magnificent that no one name could aptly describe and teach us and reveal to us all that our God is. As I let my fingers do the walking through the pages, Lord of God, I find that He's the Amen. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the Advocate. He's the altogether lovely one. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning of the creation of God. He's the branch. He's the bread of life. He's the captain of our salvation. As I study my Bible, I learn that Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the consolation of Israel, the counselor. He's deliverer, and He's the door of the sheep, as we learned last week. As I study my Bible, He's the everlasting Father. He's the faithful witness. He's the first and the last. He's the firstborn from the dead, the forerunner. He's our great high priest. He's God blessed forever. He's the head of the church, the Holy One of God, Emmanuel, King of Israel. He's King of peace and King eternal, immortal. He's the King of saints and He's King of kings and Lord of lords. I study my Bible and I find that He's the last Adam, the Lamb of God, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's Lord, Lord of glory, Mediator and Messenger of the Covenant. He's Messiah, the Mighty God, the Morning Star, the Only Begotten of the Father. He's our Passover. He's the Prince of Life. He's the Prince of Peace, and He's the Resurrection and the Life. I study my Bible. He's the Righteous One, our Rock, the Root of David and the Root of Jesse. He's Ruler, Savior, Servant. He's Shiloh. He's the Son of Most High. He's the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings. I study my Bible, and He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of David, and He's the Son of God. He's the Son of the Most High. We find that He's the true God, the true vine. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Word of God, and the Word of life. But there's probably no more profound name and title in the Bible given to our Savior that He assumes to Himself as the two words found in the first part of our text when He says, I am. We go all the way back to the Old Testament when we first meet that name of God. And there we know Moses as he's there at the burning bush and he asks God his name. And who should tell the children of Israel he is? The one who sent him to deliver them. And he says, you just go and tell them that I am has sent me. You remind them that I am the ever-present God who can. Aren't you glad we've got a God who can? He's the eternal, self-existent, ever-present, all-sufficient God. And when Jesus, the Lord of glory, assumes that divine title in the New Testament, they immediately understood what He meant by that. And there we find that Jesus of the New Testament links Himself and tells us that He's the Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Seven times, the Lord Jesus links Himself to that divine name and he connects it with human need. We find in our text, He said, I am. The person who says that, and it's interesting that they survey these seminaries, I call them cemeteries, and those that are in them and ask them and say, do you believe that Jesus is God? And, 50, 60, 70% deny the deity of Jesus. The person who would say that Jesus never claimed to be God is either deranged or they never read the Bible. As a matter of fact, those that heard Him that day knew immediately and exactly what He was claiming. Would you look over a few verses just for time's sake? I want you to look at it real quickly. Look, if you would, at verse number 31. After Jesus said, I and my Father are one, meaning one in essence, one in nature, one in plan, one in work. The Bible says in verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Verse 32, Jesus answered them, any good works have I showed you from my Father, which of these works do you stone me in? And notice what they answered. The Jews answered and say, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Friend, can I tell you, there is no other God than Jesus Christ. He is God in human flesh, second person of the Trinity, who came down from heaven to reveal God to men, to redeem us to Himself. And He said, I am. And then He says, I believe in the next statement, one's the most profound, the other most personal, intimate, and precious, the Good Shepherd. Wow. Immediately, those that had ears to hear understood what Jesus was saying to them. They understood that He assumed the divine title of Jehovah God. He's saying that I am God, but I just want you to know I'm more than just that. I want you to know as God, I am the Good Shepherd. They immediately, within their minds, as Jews recognized that relationship, because God had already talked about how that He was the Shepherd of Israel. In Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my Shepherd. Psalm 100 verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Isaiah 40 and verse 11, He shall feed, talking to Messiah, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. They knew immediately what Jesus was saying. He was talking about the shepherd ministry of God, and here He is in human flesh saying to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, I am the Good Shepherd. What preciousness, what personalness, what intimacy. The shepherd ministry of the Lord Jesus is one of the most precious truths in the Bible. I want you to learn something this morning of our Good Shepherd. I want you to notice, first of all, He personally cares for the sheep. He personally cares for the sheep. He doesn't send an hireling. He doesn't send somebody in His place. No, He personally and intimately is involved in the lives of those who belong to Him. Look up, if you would, verse number 3 of John chapter 10. He said to him, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice. And He called His own sheep by name. I like that. Do you realize what that just told me? My shepherd knows who I am. If you're saved this morning, one of His sheep, your shepherd knows who you are. He knows His sheep. Notice, He called His own by name. When the Good Shepherd sees His flock, He doesn't just see a bunch of sheep. No. He sees each of us individually and knows us personally. Can I tell you, you're not just a number with the shepherd. You're a name and He knows your name. What a blessing. Each one of His sheep is dear to the heart of the shepherd, but not only does He know us personally, but He knows us completely. Look over at verse number 14. He said, I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. I love that word know. It means to know with perception, to completely know. Hey, He knows everything about us. By the way, whether that threatens us or thrills us is determined by how we live. There's nothing about us that our God doesn't know. He knows our names, our natures, our needs. He knows our desires, our dangers, our dispositions. He knows our aims, our ambitions, our abilities. He knows our faults, our failures, our foolishness. He knows our burdens, our blemishes, and our bitterness. He knows our miseries, our mercies, and our mistakes. He knows our convictions, our compromises, and our contentions. The Good Shepherd knows all about His sheep, and He knows all about me, and He knows all about you. But you know what blesses me today? He knows my faults. He knows my failures. He knows those things about me, but yet He knows me, and He loves me. And I want you to know that blesses me this morning. I'm glad He's there, aren't you? But not only does He know His sheep, and I want to promise you, as one of His sheep today, He knows exactly what you're at, what you're going through, what's going on in your life. And I want you to know, your Good Shepherd, your Great Shepherd cares about you. And He's intimately at work in your life. You don't have to see Him or feel Him to know that He's at work. He knows me. But notice this, not only does He know His sheep, He leads His sheep. Looking at verse number 3, I want you to catch the latter part of that verse. And leadeth them out. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them. And the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Let me give you a personal illustration of that in just a moment. I'm not going to try to wear this out, and you're going to hear it on and on and on. But there are some things that God's taught me in the last 7 or 8 weeks that I do want to share with you. Now, it reminds you, the imagery here is of a Middle Eastern sheepfold, which consisted of a walled enclosure of either rock or stone, and oftentimes bushes with large thorns would be intertwined together and fixed to the top of that sheepfold in order to keep predators out and thieves out. And the sheep would, at night, enter in. The shepherd would lead his sheep out of the meadows, and he would lead them into the sheepfold, a place of safety and a place of security. The shepherds, many times, one sheepfold would hold multiple flocks. The shepherds would lead them into the fold at night for protection, and several flocks would be mixed together. And the next morning, the shepherds would call their sheep, and they would leave the fold to follow their shepherd out to the lush green pastures. Now the question comes to my mind, how would the shepherd know which sheep is his? I mean, if I look at a sheep, a flock of sheep, they just look like sheep. I mean, how would you know? How would the sheep know which shepherd was theirs? I mean, they're sheep. And as I told you last week, sheep are not the smartest animals. They're stinky, smelly, and stubborn. Sounds like us, doesn't it? Sounds like God sort of compared us to sheep. Do you realize that each sheep knew the distinctive call of their shepherd? His voice. Philip Keller wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at the Good Shepherd and His Sheep. And here's what he said. He said the relationship which rapidly develops between a shepherd and the sheep under his care is to a definite degree dependent upon the use of the shepherd's voice. Sheep quickly become accustomed to their own shepherd's particular voice. They are acquainted with its unique tone. They know its peculiar sounds and inflections. They can distinguish it from any other person. Look again at verse number 4. The Bible said, in the latter part of it, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And verse 5 says, a stranger will they not follow. Friend, can I tell you, aren't you glad that our God has a voice? You say, preacher, I don't know that I've ever heard it. You did. You say, preacher, when did I hear the voice? When that book was open. They hear His voice. Friend, you can't expect the world that doesn't belong to the shepherd to hear His voice. We get frustrated. We get bound and shaken. They don't know what God says. They don't understand what the Bible says. No! They don't hear His voice. What distinguishes one of Christ's sheep is they hear His voice. There is a personal, intimate relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. They know their shepherd. He is a personal shepherd. And you know what? Not only does he know them, he leads them. Immediately my mind and their minds would go to Psalm 23. He leads us to the lush green pastures, picturesque of the Word of God, that contents us that we might lie down and we find contentment and satisfaction. He leads us through the still waters of His peace. And may I remind you, dear child of God, that peace is not the absence of danger, it's the presence of the shepherd. You see, Psalm 23 would say this, that he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Peace. He leadeth us in right. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. What we would understand is right paths. You know what? God will never lead you down a wrong path. Never. He'll always lead in right paths. But listen, that doesn't mean that the paths aren't dangerous. That doesn't mean the paths aren't difficult. That doesn't mean that the sheep always know where the shepherd's leading. I'll be honest with you. I don't know where the shepherd's leading all the time. But you know what? We need to be content. Listen, my job as the sheep is not to figure out the shepherd. My job's just to follow. I thought about Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and there is a actual mountain pass in Israel called the valley of the shadow of death. And David knew all about that, and it was a very narrow pass. It would lead up into the mountains of the high tablelands where the shepherd, as David would write, would talk about the table and the presence of the enemies, and the sheep would follow their shepherd through that. I thought about something as several weeks ago that my first episode took place, and I was laying there in the hospital one night. I did not know the outcome. I knew things were bad. I did not know what I had at the time. Didn't know what was going on. But I did know that there was a possibility that I would not, that I could not, that I may not survive that. I knew that was true. My wife and I knew that. We prayed together. I never experienced anything like that in my life. I can remember in the wee morning hours as I could hear my wife's soft breathing beside of me, and I'm wide awake because they don't know what's going on, and they're sitting there telling me that if we don't do something soon, bad things are going to happen, but they really didn't know what to do, and the doctors were trying to decide who needed to fix it. And I remember as I lay there contemplating the future, thinking about the outcome, thinking about the reality of death, I began to pray to the Lord. I began to talk to Him in real... I mean, we quit the now they'll lay me down to sleep stuff. It got serious. And I remember telling the Lord, you know, Lord, I want to live. But Lord, I really want Your will to be done. I remember having assurance that if I closed my eyes, I would see Him. But I tell you what came to my mind. It was as if the voice of the shepherd, because see, you can memorize His voice. And He'll speak it back to you. Call the Word of God. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And here's the part that helped me. For Thou art with me. And here's what I thought about. Listen to me. Here's what I thought about. I thought about, Lord, I don't have to fear this. Because You've already been through it. It's going to be all right. I'm okay. It's good. And you know what He gave me? Sleep. And I eased over and I went to sleep that night. The assurance in my heart that He had it all under control. And He had already been there. And He had already been through it. And I said, Lord, you know what? I said, You've already been through that. And You came back again. And You said if I closed my eyes in death, that really I'd just be passing on to be with You. That I would never die. That I'd just pass one life into the next. And You've already gone before and said, God, it's going to be okay. Amen. What peace? All the way my Savior, my Shepherd leads me. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort. Here by faith in Him I dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Listen, I'm here to tell you, He is a loving Shepherd who knows His sheep, knows everything about you, knows where you're at, knows your hurt, your pain, your fears. He knows all of that. But I'm here to tell you, He's leading you, and He does all things well. Aren't you glad for that? No wonder the psalmist was little girl misquoted the psalm in her Sunday school class and said, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. But not only did He personally care for the sheep, but I want you to notice, secondly, He purposefully died for the sheep. Look down at verse number 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. You know what rich shepherds would do because they love their sheep? They would risk their very lives in order to rescue their sheep. They would. I thought about David. Immediately, King David came to mind as a young shepherd boy, teenager. How that he risked his life and he talked to, as he was talking to King Saul before he went to fight with Goliath and said, listen, he said, the Lord enabled me. And he said, I went down and He took a lion by the beard and I smote. And he said, I took a bear, and he said, I delivered the lamb out of the lion's mouth and out of the paw of the bear. And the same God that's able to do that, He'll help me fight that giant. He risked His life. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus didn't risk His life. He gave it. That word giveth means to give as a gift. Do you realize, listen to me, that Jesus Christ gave His life as a gift to you. He died willingly. He said He'd give His life. Look over at verse number 15. He said, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Do you see the willingness of the voluntary? Look down at verse number 17. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." You know what? The Roman soldiers, listen, those there at the cross that day did not take His life. He willingly gave it. They didn't have to wrestle the Son of God like they did the other criminals to the cross and lay on Him and nail it down. Oh no, I can see it now in my mind's eye. If they laid Him down to the cross piece on that beam and He laid out His hand, and that grueling Roman soldier never seen anything like that, and allowed them to drive a nail through one hand and a nail through the other hand and through His feet. Listen, He willingly and voluntarily in that garden said, "Listen, they're coming. Let us be going." And He went to the cross. And there on the cross of Calvary, He willingly and voluntarily gave His life for you. How in the world can you not receive Him as your Savior and say yes to Him for all He's done to you? And dear children of God, how can we go our own way and not give our lives to Him because He's given Himself to us? There's no excuse for living subpar Christian lives when Jesus has been all the way for every one of us. He died willingly. He died brutally. Philippians 2:8 said He became obedient unto death. Listen to this. Even the death of the cross. He didn't die just any death. Now, there are those who claim that Jesus could have been stoned or strangled or anything and accomplished the same results. Nothing could be further from the truth. No, He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before God ever set a star in its socket or a planet in its orbit, before He scooped out those sins or heaped up the mountains, in God's mind's eye, there was a skull-shaped hill outside the gates of Jerusalem where the battle of the ages would be fought. It would be there that His Son would be nailed to an old rugged tree and die the most cruel and ignominious death known to mankind, the death of the cross. The death of a basest of criminal. He would there hang between heaven and earth for 6 grueling hours, beaten bloody. Isaiah said that His visage, His facial features and bodily form was marred more than any man, more than the sons of men. That when you would look up on the cross, what you saw there on that middle cross was barely recognizable as human. And He said, "Listen, I gave this for you." He died willingly, He died brutally, but thank God He died sacrificially. Look at verse 11. He said, "The good shepherd giveth his life." I love this next phrase. "For the sheep." It wasn't for His sins that He died. It was mine. That "for" means a substitute. It's in our place. It was for me died. It was for you who He died. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to His own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I love how as humans we like to talk about mistakes and, you know, we messed up. Listen, you know what God calls it? Iniquity. It's wickedness. It's sin. Jesus died for sin. Amen. And who can tell the number and the nastiness of our sin that was laid on Him? 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." God took every lie I've ever told, every curse word I've ever said, every vile thought that ever crossed through my mind, every wicked word that's ever come out of these lips, every ungodly lie that I've ever told. Anything in my east, God took all of my sin and laid it on His Son who didn't know any sin. Thank God. Amen. He died for the sheep. But then, you know what He did? He took His spotless righteousness and He placed it on my account. See, He exchanged places. He took my sin and gave me His righteousness. Amen. And when God sees me, He doesn't see my filth. Amen. He doesn't see my wickedness. He doesn't see my ungodliness. He sees me wrapped in the perfect righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He said, "That's one of my sheep. White as snow." He died willingly. He died brutally. He died sacrificially. But listen, we can't miss it. He died triumphantly. Look again at verse number 17. He said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life." Now watch this, "that I might take it again." Amen. I like verse 18. "Now, no man taketh it from me." You can't kill me. You can't kill God. He didn't take His life. He dismissed His life. Amen. He said, "I lay it down of myself." I have the power, the authority, the ability to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Oh, they thought they'd killed him. They laid him in that tomb. He's dead. Put a Roman soldier to keep the disciples or whoever from stealing the body. Put the seal of Rome on it. Nobody's going to withstand the power of Rome. There was another power there called the power of darkness. It was greater than the power of Rome. There was a greater power than that.
Amen.
They laid the cold, lifeless body of my shepherd that gave his life for me in that tomb, who went before and tasted death for every man. 3 days later, inside that tomb, something marvelous took place.
Amen.
He that was dead rose in triumph and walked out of the tomb in resurrection power. And he's alive forevermore. He said, I'm he that liveth and is dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. He said, I lay it down that I might take it again. Friend, listen. The world can worship their gods, but they don't impress me till they can go in a tomb and walk out again. And their gods are dead and ours is alive. But not only is he personally care for the sheep and purposely died for the sheep. Number three, he powerfully saves the sheep. Look down at verse 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give, I love that word give, don't you? Unto them eternal life. Same word, it means to give as a gift. He gave his life as a gift to you so that he could pay for our sins and die in my place, in your place, so that one day he could give us the gift of eternal life. Salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the eternal life. It's not a reward to be earned, it's a gift that's received. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, human effort, energy, ingenuity, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to be going around heaven telling God how they made it in. Because everybody that makes it to heaven gets there the same way, through the precious blood of the spotless Lamb of God that suffered on the cross of Calvary in our place. He said, I'm the good shepherd, I give my life for the sheep. And he gave his life that he might give us the gift of God's salvation. Faith is the hand that receives the gift of salvation 300 times. John says, over 50 sometimes, John says, believe, 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 receive. Friend, it's by faith. Listen, what can I bring? What can I do? It's already been done. Friend, I come as a repentant sinner and say, Lord, in faith I receive you as my Savior. Forgive me and save me. And listen, you know what He does? He powerfully and instantaneously and faithfully saves because He always keeps His Word.
Amen.
But not only is He faithfully saved, He completely saves. He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Do you realize that these verses are some of the most powerful, poignant verses in all of the Bible on the doctrine of eternal security? The person that says you can't that you can't know that you're saved and that salvation is not forever, and the person that says that you can lose it evidently doesn't understand John 10:28. I give to them eternal life. Eternal life in itself is the only kind of life that God lives. It gives. It's the life that lasts forever. Or it'd have to be temporary life if I could lose it. And they shall never perish. That means under any circumstances. That verse doesn't say that if He saves me today, that He will give me eternal life until I mess up or blow it or sin again. Because the truth is, if you get saved today, you'll probably sin by tomorrow. And so will we. But the good news is the good shepherd paid for those things, past, present, and future. I am forever forgiven of the penalty of my sins. As one of Christ's sheep, I'm not only saved, I'm safe, I'm secure, I'm in His hand. He said, they shall never perish. We're in His grip. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, not only am I not going to lose you, but nobody's going to take you away from me. Do you realize that that word pluck means to snatch? It means to seize by force. If you're not really sure what that verse is about, what that word pluck means or snatch or seize by force, just go to the nursery for a few minutes. There'll be some 3-year-olds in there. And you know, you'll notice that there'll be toys there where, yes, they've had their Bible time and prayer time and song time and all things that they do, because it's not just playtime. We teach them about the Lord that loves them. But there's playtime. And there's toys in there. You know? And you know what's interesting is that one child can be perfectly happy with the toy that's in their hand till another child picked up a toy that they thought they wanted. And suddenly one child will run to another child Now, before you get upset about the children in the nursery, you and I did the same thing when we were three, okay? And they'll go there and they'll snatch it away. You know what I'm saying? Because I want that. They'll pluck it out of their hand. They'll take it. And here's what Jesus said. Once you're in my hand, nobody can pluck you out of my hand. Nobody's going to take me away from Him. But you know, in the Bible days of a shepherd, went on a long journey with a flock of sheep, and he came back and he had more than 50% of his sheep than what he left with. If he comes back with more than half of them, well, they would say that he's a good shepherd. And the reason for that was the dangers that the sheep faced, such as disease and poisonous weeds and treacherous mountain passes and floods and robbers and wild animals. That's just name a few. But my shepherd's no ordinary shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's made a promise to every one of his sheep that if he starts out with 100, he's going to come home with 100. Amen. Not one of them will perish. He said this in his high priestly prayer in John 17. He said, Father, them which thou gavest me, none of them is lost, but the son of perdition. Well, the Judas had gotten saved and lost it. He never got saved to begin with. He had never believed on the Lord. He never received Him. He was a fake from the start. But those that had put their faith in Him, He said, none of them is lost. Friend, once you trust the Savior, the Good Shepherd, you can never be lost again. Amen. The name and honor of God is at stake. He's made that promise to every one of His sheep. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore He's able to save them of the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Can I tell you, the God who saved me is the God who keeps me, kept by the power of God. You see, I'm personally cared for by the Shepherd. He purposely died for the sheep. He personally cares for the sheep. He powerfully saves the sheep. Aren't you glad that He has the power to save us and forgive us and change us and make us different? Aren't you glad that He passionately seeks the sheep? Look at verse 16 and we'll be done. And other sheep I have. I like that. Because see, as I look at the passage here, He's talking to those people that were around Him that day. He was telling them, I'm the good shepherd. He's telling them everything about what He can do. He personally cares. He purposely died. He powerfully saves. But I'm glad He passionately seeks. Amen. And I'm glad He told them that there's other sheep He had, because 2,000 years fast forward, He's talking about you and me. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's me. That's you. You know, I hear this a lot. People say, well, you know what? My life was terrible, and I was hearing that until I found the Lord. I don't ever correct anybody, but you know, the reality of it is, I didn't find Him. He found me. I really wasn't looking for Him, to be honest with you. I was pretty content doing what I was doing. I'm sure glad He found me. What about you? I'm glad He came my way. I'm glad He passionately sought me. I'm glad He passionately loved me. I'm glad that I'm one of those other sheep that He must also bring, aren't you? And can I tell you, He wasn't the one that was lost. I was. And He's still seeking. And He's still searching. And He wants you to come become one of His sheep. He wants to become your shepherd. See, that's the joy that He's still searching, passionately seeking. He's still looking. And you know what? He's come your way today. You say, preacher, how do you know that? You're here. You're under the sound of His voice. He's telling you today, the messenger, that He's the good shepherd, and that he personally wants to care for you, that he purposely died for you, that He wants to powerfully save you, and He's passionately seeking you, and He wants you to belong to Him. You see, that sheepfold, I thought about this. There were those that day, as He was speaking, they were in the fold. They knew Him. He was their shepherd. But there's a whole lot of sheep out there that didn't have a shepherd, and they were on the outside looking in. And He was saying, listen, other sheep I have, they're not of this fold, and I've got to bring them. And you see, they didn't have to be on the outside looking in. They could get in the fold. And you know what? You can too. You can too. My grandfather, I can't preach on this passage without thinking of my granddaddy that went to heaven back in about 6 years ago. I think it's 2010. I can hear his voice. As growing up, he would sing this song, the 99. Now, I'm not going to sing it for you. Not today. But I loved it when my grandma would get up and they would sing the 99. And I hear his voice right now ringing my ears. Because one thing I knew, my granddad knew the shepherd. I know the shepherd because he knew the shepherd. And he told me about the shepherd. Who are you telling about the shepherd? See, if you're one of his sheep, you can't help but brag on your shepherd.
Right.
See, you come up to one sheep and they say, well, let me tell you about my shepherd. And you say, listen, man, let me tell you about my shepherd.
That's right.
But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night the Lord passed through ere He found His sheep that was lost. There is no way. I've preached the gospel for over 30 years. I've preached the cross. I've preached the Christ of the cross. I've talked about His death. I've talked about how that He gave His life these many years. But you know what I found? I found that I don't have enough words in my vocabulary to describe what He really went through and what He really did when He gave His life for each one of us so that we could become one of His sheep. There's no way we can know. There's no way that we could know the guilt and the pain and the suffering that He went through to pay for my sins. And you know what? I never will know that. You say, why? Because He paid, took my place. Now, if you don't know Him, you will one day know what it is to suffer for sins. But you won't do it 6 hours on a cross. You'll do it for all eternity in the lake of fire.
Right.
Because sin has to be paid for.
Right.
And He's saying, I paid for it for you, so you don't have to. I gave my life as a gift to you so that you don't ever have to know what I went through to save you. But He's passionately seeking you. He's wanting you to become one of His sheep this morning. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to save your soul. He wants to write your name in His book. And He wants to give you heaven as home. But more than anything, He wants to be your shepherd. Isn't that good? You see, that my shepherd cares for me till I get to the Father's house. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise. And that can be your promise this morning. Every head bowed in